Greetings, greetings, each of you, by the very means of internet radio. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Sit back, enjoy the next couple of songs. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the things concerning Christmas and Christianity. God bless you.
And daughter, you know that your baby boy has come to make you child. Did you know your baby boy has died?
Amen. That was Mary Did You Know by Pantronic. What I loved about that group is so much is at all the sound that you heard in that, all of it was a cappella. No physical musical instrument. The sound that you heard was there, just the wonderful sound of their melody. Amen, amen. Well, I see Missionary Ken is on the line, Sister Ruth. Amen, amen. We got some latecomers today, but that's all right. We're going to keep on going forward. Amen. God bless you, Missionary. How you doing today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. What about you?
Man, I am thankful that I am blessed. Amen. I'm very thankful because I know the alternative. Amen. It's not to be blessed, not to be favored, to be downtrodden. And so I'm so thankful that I got a God that looks over me, and he doesn't put on me more than I can bear. And so I am so very thankful.
I guess the answer to my question kind of should lead you right into that commercial about the favor of God.
That's right. It is, and it do lead right into it. You know, that's probably one of my favorite commercials, all the commercials. I just love it because It gives us to know that we are favored of God, and God is right here with us, man. And this season here is one that we all should just be thankful for, rejoicing in. Tonight I'm going to be talking about is Christmas in the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about it? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? So I'm going to be answering a few questions on the topic surrounding Christianity and Christian faith tonight. We're going to bring up some history and get into some details of some things. So so we're going to get in. Somebody was trying to call me to get on the line, but I need them to call. They calling me the wrong way. I can't do FaceTime. It'll hang up the main line. So in a which way, there we go. All right, there goes our other person there. God bless you, Brother Six. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Lady Bonnet was trying to call in, but she was calling me. She's been hanging out with Sister Emily. They love doing this FaceTime thing.
All right now.
But that don't – you can't answer FaceTime on a regular call. It is, I can't merge that call. So I can't merge that call. It have to be a regular call.
Right.
So
right.
And so in a which way. She'll call back in just a moment. I hope. anyway. How was your day, sir? How was your day?
My day was good. It's not over yet. I'll be back in the studio after I get off your show, and I'll be working till I fall asleep. But it was great.
Okay.
I made the woke list.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you got some things in the working. That sounds good. That sounds like a plan. Nothing better than someone motivated to get something done. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in for a wonderful show tonight. We started our first song out, Mary, Did You Know, from Pantronic. Many people know that CeeLo did the song. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he done it first.
Yeah.
I believe he was the original writer of that song or producer of it, if I'm not mistaken. You the music guru here, you correct me if I'm wrong.
You are right. So you're right. Yes, he wrote and produced that, CeeLo Green.
Yep.
And then the other versions came after.
Okay. Well, so many people have done it. I think it's a wonderful song, a great tribute to our Lord and Savior, celebrating his mother because, man, the question, that is a wonderful question by itself. Mary, did you know? I mean, can you imagine of all the things that people can have the opportunities to do in the world? Mary had the opportunity to bathe God. Mary had the opportunity to feed God. She had the opportunity to nurse and hold and comfort God. I mean,
I mean, when you get into the details of what it is or what does it take to raise a baby, man, that's a wonderful opportunity that Mary had just to have that intimacy that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of us have an opportunity to have a intimate relationship with God, each on our own. But Mary, throughout eternity, will have something no one else can say. You know, she bathed Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, and she got to do it before anybody else. And so, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that Mary had an opportunity to do in loving Christ. And so, in which way, so we're going to keep moving on. I'm going to ask Missionary Ken, as I often do, to open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll go forward. Missionary Ken, would you pray, please, man of God?
All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. And in you, Lord Jesus, we know we have another way, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to take the wheel of this year program, Lord Jesus. And we turn the wheel completely over to you, Lord Jesus. Please take the wheel, Lord Jesus. As we now dedicate this program to you, Lord Jesus, we turn it over to you and ask, Lord Jesus, that you work with that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children out there, we ask the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on for you, Lord Jesus, no matter what it may be, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, the family and friends, Lord Jesus, that may have lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask, Lord Jesus, you comfort them and be with them, Lord Jesus, in their time of bereavement, Lord Jesus. And then for, Lord Jesus, those who are dealing with COVID-19 right now, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can. Heal their bodies and their minds, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked, rotten, dirty situations, as there are out there, Lord Jesus, that we read about on the newspaper, hear about on the radio set and television, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now, once again, we turn this program into your keeping. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all this and pray. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Welcome.
Amen.
Wolfgang.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen. And before we go any further, our mission, Brother Six, we have some wonderful people that have been supporting this station for some time. And in this season of giving, who knows, we may have a listener now that wish to help aid this program. And so if you can give them how that they may be able to do that before we go any further, that would be greatly appreciated.
All right, all right. Well, we want to thank those in the past who've donated to continue to keep helping us keep bringing a great program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. You have two options. Now, those who are familiar with PayPal, the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES. The digit number 6@gmail.com. Once again, that is SIXEYES. The digit number 6@gmail.com. Whatever God puts on your heart to help us keep bringing you great program will be greatly appreciated. For those who utilize the Cash App, it would be $SIXEYES. The digit 2, the digit 4. $SIXEYES. Digit 2, the digit 4. And whatever donation you give to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Now, they tell me that they have this thing called blog, what it is, not blog talk, but where you just podcast. That's it. That's it. Podcast.
There you go.
And I just found out we can do that with blog talk now. Help us with that. Help those old people like myself to understand the modern technology.
So on your phone now, you just had the option before to listen to Blog Talk Radio by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/6ixeyes, and you still can utilize and get us that way. www.blogtalkradio.com/6ixeyes. Press that, and you'll have the 6ix Radio Network. But now they have a podcast feature on the iPhone and Android. So all you do is click on your podcast application, and in the search you'll type in 6ix Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, Radio, R-A-D-I-O. And when you press search, the first thing you're going to see is our beautiful logo, and you're going to see what's starting off where we're at right now, Motivational Money with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. When you see that, at the top right corner, you will press subscribe. And when you press subscribe, you can have Motivation on Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday, on a Saturday, on a Sunday. You can have the 6ix Radio Network, any shows, anytime you want, the 6ix Radio Network on demand. Just simply go to your podcast portion, your Android, your iPhone, type in 6ix Radio on the search, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, Radio, R-A-D-I-O. Top right corner, press subscribe. And again, you'll have every episode of the 6ix Radio Network. We've been here 10 years going strong, and you can go back to 2011 and hear the first show of the 6ix Radio Network. And we thank you.
All right, all right. That is wonderful news. Amen. Man, I tell you, we have come a long ways. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, "And greater works shall you do." You know, while Jesus was walking the earth, he can only bless those in the vicinity where he was at. But we have the opportunity now to cover the globe and don't even leave our residence.
Yeah.
So we have some great opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. And so we want to thank God for you, Brother Six. This is the platform God has ordained for you in this season. And we're so glad that we have the opportunity to join you in spreading the gospel to the everywhere. Amen. Because we're in over 56 countries now, and we're thankful.
A little bit more than that. We're actually over 100 now. And I told Kenneth Wolfgang that before when I made that recording. At that time, we were 56 countries, but we have surpassed that, and I've explained that to him a couple of times. So we are definitely in over 100 countries, and we grow, and we keep growing. And please like the 6ix Radio Facebook page.
Amen. Amen. God is doing some wonderful things with us. And so to all of our listeners, I encourage you to listen to the end of all our programming. Missionary Ken has the Talk with Wolfgang show on Fridays. Wonderful program that you get to have that down home type conversation with, and then enjoy some good music from time to time too. Amen. But just really to enjoy some fundamental teaching of God's word, even as his wife does the Bible prophecies.
Pastor Bonnet, I'd like to, if you don't mind, put a plug in for that show. We are presently just started this last Friday here. We started on a series on David. We're going to be going completely through the life of David.
Amen.
So you guys might be interested in that as well
that
on the Thursday show.
That will be King David.
Right, King David. And then on the Thursday show, we have a good time on the Jumbo Braille program. And on starting on the 30th of this month, the 6th of January, and the 13th of January, we're going to be doing a three-part series on the Ashtabula Horror, better known as the Ashtabula Bridge Disaster, which took the life of songwriter P.P. Bliss. And so you'll want to check that out.
Amen. Amen. And so you see, we have wonderful programming for you here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God is blessing us to do wonderful things. And we thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers. Amen. If you have any questions, please be free to, as you go online and pull up the website, down in the information section where you can comment, leave us a comment. Leave us questions. We'll do our very best to respond. And God bless you so very much. Now on with our program. Ordinarily, I go into the morning service at this time. But for the saving of time, we're going to forego our testimonies on this evening because our topic this evening is... is a lot.
Who just did that?
And so if time permits, we may end in testimony service instead of starting in testimony service. Amen and amen. Now a few commercials and we'll move forward.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops. You're being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf because you and you and you are favored of God.
It was your kind in the square. What in your own? You hear the sound of love wanting to be reminding me. What Christmas really means, and I still believe. Feel it is here, love is everywhere. Every moment here is what Christmas really means. And I hope you know, wherever you go, this love will come. Caroline, everywhere.
Wonderful song by Tellerman from their soundtrack, What Christmas Really Means. I think the movie was called Soul Santa. And wonderful song by her. And so we're thankful. Now, let me give this one particular instruction for all of those that are on the line now. Your lines are open, and if it's not, it will be. I'm going to be teaching this topic, but what I need for you not to do is jump in while I'm speaking. But when I ask a question and you have a response, then do that then, but please do not interrupt in my mid-flow. And we'll all continue to get along. The first time you do it, I'm going to say, uh-uh. The second time, I'm going to just close the mic. I think that's fair, correct? All right. So, again, some people should not celebrate Christmas. Some believe that it is wrong to celebrate Christmas with a Christmas tree. And so, oftentimes, the question has been asked, is Christmas trees in the Bible? And does the Bible teach us Christmas? Well, the simple answer to that question is more simpler than the explanation I'm going to give explaining what it is. Is Christmas trees in the Bible? There is a text in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that comes out of the book of Jeremiah that tells the children of Israel not to behave as the heathens do. And it goes into detail about them chopping down a tree and bringing it in the home and decking it with gold and silver. And so, because they was patterning themselves after something that they saw other nations do, and what they saw other nations do was things that they did to worship their gods, their idol gods, their false gods. In the early Eastern culture, there was a lot of pagan worship. That means many different groups, many different nations had what they considered their deities, their gods, things that they prayed to, things that they prayed for, and so on. And so when we get to the subject of Christmas tree, we have to go to the origin of it, and we'll do that as the night goes on. It's Christmas. The word Christmas in the Bible. Well, being that most of the writings of the New Testament was completed somewhere around 68 A.D., so within the first century. The word Christmas didn't come around until the third century. And we'll talk about how that also got started. So those are your simple answers. And so let's try to deal with the details. Okay? So we go on to Leviticus. Yeah, we'll go to Leviticus chapter 23:4. And there are so many chapters today, so I hope you have your Bibles. And those of you that don't have your Bibles, please jot down or write down the chapters of the Bible and the book of the Bible, the chapters and verse, so that at a later time you are able to go back and study yourself to see if I kept it in content, and so that you will have a better understanding of these particular things. So we're going to hold off on Leviticus. The first question is it a sin to put up a Christmas tree? Well, in the book of Psalms, and we're going to do it, and I'm going to go through each chapter with you. So as I'm turning to the pages, that's going to be symbolic of you turning to the pages. That way I don't move too fast. And hopefully you're not moving too slow. But once again, please write down the books, the chapters, and verse of the things that I will be giving you. Okay? Again, the first question is it a sin to put up a Christmas tree? One of the first things I want to go to is, and I will be using the King James Version. You're more than welcome to use what translation you best understand, whether it's the American Standard, English Standard. I personally prefer you use either the King James, New King James, or New Living. It seems to me, as I break down those scriptures, the certain words are defined correctly for the right understanding. Many of us know that traditionally we stick to the King James Version of the Bible because it kept a spirit of unity. But the truth of the matter is we are long, 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 long away from speaking the Queen's language. We don't speak what they consider proper English or English as the England does. And so certain terms that they may use in their culture, we don't use in ours. And so for some people, when they read the King James Version, it seems foreign to them. So we encourage you. If you have to pick up the New Living Translation, pick up the final edition that came out after 2000, that was the correct revised version where they corrected some of the errors that they had. It is a good study tool. Now let's keep going. So again, in the Old Testament, and we're looking for Psalms, and we're going to find the 102nd division of Psalms. So Psalms 102. And we want to Psalms 102, verse 5. By reason of my voice groans, my bones cleave to my skin, I am like up in the wilderness. That is not the text that I'm looking for. I apologize. Normally I write my sermons completely out with the text, but there I just wrote my footnote in my prayer, Lord, cry. And I don't see the verse that I'm actually looking for. But the response was that my behavior wouldn't be like those that are not godly. So separating the difference between what is God and what is not. So let me just move past that, and I'll come back to it, time permits, because I don't want to waste the time. So my apologies on that. I wrote down that wrong, and it'll come to me as I continue to teach. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and chapter 2, in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and chapter 2, particularly Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, Luke 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Now, for the saving of time, we won't read all of the dialogue, but we will go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And what we see here is what we consider the Christian narrative. In other words, the word Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-P-M-A-S. The last three letters is must, but the letters before spell Christ, which is the Greek word for Messiah. And this is the celebration of him. And so we want to see what the Bible say about the celebration or the person or the narrative or the birth. So again, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. And that's the same David that Missionary Ken will be talking about in his program. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's back in Isaiah. Okay. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. That means he did not have intercourse with her, sexual intercourse, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So that's our narrative, birth of Christ. We go over to Luke. Let's go together. The book of Luke. We're still in the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we're in Luke chapter 1. And let's go to the 26th verse. And we see here, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city, Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she had trouble at his saying in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't favor something else? Now, favor for her, in this case, was both a blessing and could have been a curse, because in her strict set of Judaism that she was brought up under, for her to be espoused to a husband and be found pregnant would have meant that she played the harlot, and they would have stoned her for it. Angel brings comfort to her and speak well to her, speaking the words of God over her. So Gabriel is speaking to Mary. He said, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, in the line of in the lineage line. So we see earlier in the text, we see they give the lineage. Matthew gives the lineage of Joseph, and Luke gives the one gives the lineage of Joseph, and the other gives the lineage of Mary, showing that he was a direct descendant of David, showing that the word of prophecy that spoke of his birth was true. And so we see that. And so, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I would like to see Sister Ruth deal with some this particular Bible prophecy, because when we go into the millennial reign, this is still active. So, because he's going to rule that thousand-year millennium. Amen. But anyway, I know that's another topic. When you're talking to other Bible students, sometimes you just get excited. All right. So of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? And she wasn't uneducated to the ways of life. In other words, she understood the birds and the bees, and wasn't no honey flying around her. And so she said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, she understood that in order for me to have a child, there got to be some intercourse taking place, and I ain't doing none of that until my marriage day with my husband. So, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So let's go all the way back to the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3. Let me keep on going. Three more verses. And behold, our cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her whom was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want to stop plug in. What do you do when what God has told you to do makes no sense? How do you respond when you have no understanding? You respond in faith and submission. Her faith was not to doubt whether or not God can do is being stated. And she submitted herself completely to the will of God. And so for that, she also found favor in God, because God knew she would submit. Sometimes certain blessings in our life can't come not because God haven't, but maybe because of our inability to submit at that moment. And so learning how to be obedient when we hear the voice of God is a key component for us. Delayed obedience is still instant disobedience. And so learning how to subject ourselves when we hear God's word, when we hear God speaking, then not trying to bargain or even trying to reason it out, but when we know God is speaking, it is for us to be submissive. And it's because of her submissiveness, joy was added to the world. Now, we're going over to chapter 2 real quick. And I guess I should have told Ken to keep me on time. I see my clock. So 2 verses 1 through 20. Now, I can't read all of that. Well, I can read all of that, but allow me to paraphrase that because I really only want to get to here there was a tax going on, and Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea into a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So the reason why Joseph was moving was because there was a consensus done where they had to pay taxes. And the way it was being set up, and again, this is up under the Roman rule. And this is probably one of the premier times, probably the best time in history for Christ to be born, because the Persians, who was very mighty nation, very powerful, they the one that came up with a lot of philosophies and teachings. And when Rome took over, the Greek took over, they adopted these same philosophies. And that's the way a lot of their Greek mythology came up and started being developed in that day and time. But Rome was adamant about everyone in their region learning that language. And the Greek language at that day and time, a lot of their words did not have multiple meanings. So they wanted they were strict on the language of that day. And so when we see the writings of the New Testament, we see a lot of it is written in the Greek language because that was the rule of that day. And because of their dominancy, so that all could understand. So when we see in the upper room when the day of Pentecost had came and they began to speak in tongues, the people was amazed because they began, while they listening to those that was under the unction of the Holy Spirit, they wasn't now speaking Greek. They were speaking in their native language, different native languages from where they come. So they was able to hear the gospel of Christ in their native tongue. So that what that applies is maybe everyone didn't fully understood all of the Greek, all of the Roman wordings, but they understood that in order to do business, you had to understand certain things. You had to be. And so for them to hear the gospel in their native language, that means they were able to hear it with clarity of understanding. And so, but
again. So let me digress. So the taxes, the consensus was going on, taxes was going on. So we see once you get down to about verse 8, we see that it's time for Mary to give birth, and it's, they're looking for lodging, and there was no room. There was no, in other words, all the hotels in our day, all the hotels, all the places that had shared homes, all these things was occupied. And because how they kept their livestock had what we consider barns in our day and time. And they, those outer houses, there was no room for them. So, but here it is, Mary is about to give birth. And Joseph is in a position because he got to get her where she can deliver this child. And she needs a certain amount of space. They need water. They need what it takes to deliver the child. And so they'll find themselves in this position where they're in this place where she gives birth to Jesus. And the manger, you know, is simply a trough, what the animals ate hay out of. And so what we will see in a rocking basket, a cradle basket, he put enough hay in there to support the child and put the child in there to keep the child warm. This is one of the reasons why we know that this did not take place in winter. Christmas is based on a Roman belief, and it tied into the solace, the what we're going into now, where you have the shorter days on this side of the planet. You have these shorter days of light, and we'll get into that in a moment. I don't want to jump ahead of myself because I got particular notes I need to follow. So we see the birth of Christ taking place. But while this is going on, there were some shepherds out in the field. And so was there a celebration of the birth of Christ? The answer to that is yes. Both angels and men celebrated the birth of Christ. The wise men, they are not even in the scene yet. Our nativity scene that we see the three wise men at the birth of Christ, that's not even accurate, because they didn't show up until about 2 years later, and we'll get to that. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined around about them, and they were so afraid. In other words, they saw this bright light. They saw all these folks in the heaven. They saw angels coming out to heaven, rejoicing about Jesus being born. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." So here is the true nativity scene and the true celebration of Christmas, not Christmas. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
which is Christ the Lord. That, again, Christ in the Hebrew is Messiah, okay? But this writing is in the Greek. So that's why Christ is here, the word Christ. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In other words, that situation played out that way, not by accident. It played out like that so that the shepherd, when they go to see him, they will be able to find him. He's not mixed in with other people, around other groups and crowds of people. He's already separated because of the crowdedness of the consensus that's going on. So let's go on. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on the earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angel was going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which is come to pass, the Lord has made known unto us. So if the birth of Jesus wasn't something that we should be mindful of or celebrate, then God himself would not have made it a big deal. Can y'all agree with that? Matter of fact, let me pause right there. Do that seems like at this point, do you think that God is making a big deal about the birth of Christ? This is a yes or no comment. Hello.
Amen.
I believe so.
I believe so too. And Pastor Bonnet, the thing you were mentioning about the shells and the millennial reign of Christ, you kind of come in a few days late on that. If you go back to the archives on last Friday when we did the first part of David's series, you do find Ruth covers that in her series that she did, the episode Christ Our Coming King.
Amen. Good. She did cover it already. Good. Good. That's good. So I go back and look at that myself, listen to that myself on the archive. Thank you very much. Y'all on it. Amen. Because this is in the season. Amen. We're in the season. Amen. And I did mention it, too, on my message on my last week program as I brought out the prophecies that I was dealing with. The prophecy said and prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy said and prophecy fulfilled. Amen. But so it seems like God is making a big deal about this because now probably miles away on the outskirts of the city, God allowed angels to make themselves visible to men. And men now are able to not just see but hear angels celebrating an act of God for mankind. So to me, in my personal opinion, I think the celebration of Christ's birthday is something that we should do as born-again believers. It is something that we should be mindful of as believers. Yes, I do understand he wasn't born December 25th, but I do understand that if it was a day collectively we have come together to celebrate his birthday, I say to you and others, good. Celebrate it. But, Brother Bonnie, I don't want to celebrate it then. He wasn't born then. Okay, what day you want to celebrate Jesus' birthday? Now, if you're going to pick a day, don't change it now. Go on and pick it and stick with it throughout all of your generation. Teach your children to do the same. So why are we celebrating July 30th? Why are we celebrating Jesus then? Well, I don't know when Jesus' birthday was, but I want to celebrate his birthday. So go get you a cake. Do all things that are celebration involved. I mean, otherwise, my next question to you is, if you don't think it's okay to celebrate Jesus' birthday, I have one simple question. Do you celebrate yours? And that's a setup, so let me go ahead and expose it. Because if your answer is yes, you celebrate your birthday, but you don't celebrate Christ, in that one action, you have put yourself above him. Consider what I say and let the Lord give you an understanding. That's all I'm going to say on it, and I'm going to keep on moving. So the next part that I'm going to read, all right, so we see that in, again, we see all of that taking place. So we see Christmas is not in the Bible, but do we see celebration of the birth of Christ? The answer is yes. Number one, we see angels of the Lord appearing before shepherds at night and announces Jesus' birth to them. Number two, we see a multitude of angels appearing in the sky after the angel announcement, praising God and giving him glory for the birth that's about to take place, or that is taking place. Number three, we see the shepherds having their sheep, the shepherds themselves who was taking care of their sheep, they left their sheep. So here it is, businessmen, because that was a business in that day and time, not a hobby. That was a business. They left their commodity. They left their livelihood. Wherever the grazing point was, and went into the city to the place where the angels told them, just so that they can see Jesus. And then the Bible said afterwards, they ran and told other people that the Messiah is born. So in other words, these shepherd men had to be men that understood sacred scripture. And somewhere down the line, they read or knew Isaiah, who promised that a child shall be born of a virgin. And so them realizing that the fulfillment of promise that they've been waiting for so long is now coming to pass, they put down everything that they was doing. In other words, they stopped working. Sound like a celebration for show. You know, I know how y'all did when you was out there in the world. You got off work early, bought your new outfit, showed up to the party early. And when they sung your right song, you was on the dance floor and said, "That's my jam." I'm sorry. Excuse me. All right, let me keep on going. Amen. So then the shepherds glorified God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them by the angel of the Lord. So now they worship God. After they celebrated, after they experienced it, after they did that, they after they invited other people. Sound like church. But after they did all of that, they worshiped God. They honored God. See, in our celebration of Christmas, the question must be asked, does it involve our celebrating God, or are we celebrating one another? Are we, and I'm not knocking you, telling somebody thank you for the gift, and we're going to get into where all of that gift came from, too, by the way. Brother Charles, you want to stick around for that? I think you'll like how that folded, how the gifting unfolded. So one, two, three, four. So four, again, they glorify God. That means they worship God for the information that was given to them by the angel of the Lord, okay? Then, here's something again. If it was a one-time event, then you can say, well, that was just that one time. That don't mean it should be done, you know, all the time. Okay. The Magi of the West, people keep saying East. That's not what happened. Read the text. The text says they saw his star in the East. So if I see it in the East, I'm not in the East. And they follow it to where he was. They went eastward to where it was. So that means they came from the West. But we're not going to make a big deal of that. It's just one of those points that sometimes when commercialism get into stuff, the truth of it can be smeared. Okay. So 2 years later, wise men from wise men saw the star, and they traveled with gifts. Now, here it is. These particular men are men of wealth. In this day and time, you didn't travel through desert land without a caravan of people. So this was not a small company. So once again, the nativity scene shows us three men only. These men was men of wealth. And they traveling to present a king the best from their area. Because that's what you did for kings. When you traveled from where you were, you brought him the best of your land because a king is worthy of your best, not your second. So they brought their best. So that means they had to bring help, guard it, and face passage with it. Because it was not important for them to start the journey. It was important for them to finish the journey. For the saving of time, they went to Herod, and who was a king in that land, and they talked to him and said to him, where is the King of Kings? For we have saw his star in the East. And Herod, being jealous, thinking that he was about to lose his throne, plotted to kill the king that was being born. And so we knew it was a space of time because when the men got his blessing to go forth and look for him, they looked for him, and when they found him,
they presented those gifts unto him. So his mama and daddy got all of these gifts, so they were not poor, y'all. At this point, poverty was non-existent because he was presented with a king's gift. And no one is traveling just to give him a dollar. Don't make sense. Okay? So they presented the gift to Christ so that his family can bring him up and raise him. This is why at the end of their journey, they was warned by angel not to go back and tell Herod, because he said, when you find him, come back and let me know so I can go and worship him. And the angel said, don't go back and tell him nothing. He lying. He going to try to hurt the child. Joseph received the instruction, take the child and his mother and leave. So now Joseph is leaving those that was with him, and he goes off. And King Herod, and this is how we know it was a space of 2 years or more, this second celebration of Christ. Because when he realized that they was gone out of the country and didn't come back to tell him, he started killing all the children around that age. All the male children, excuse me, around that age. So another scripture was being fulfilled when it talked about Rachel weeping. So we see so many prophecies being fulfilled concerning the birth of Christ and the life of Christ. Amen. So once again, I ask the question, do it sound like a celebration? Do it sound like the people were celebrating Christ who came? Now, here in America, we celebrate life. But when you go around the world, other cultures celebrate death. We know one particular culture here that we've been privileged of, the Hispanic culture, that have that Day of the Dead. They are celebrating death. And so we see celebration of death more so than the celebration of life. And so one of the reasons why it was more emphasis was on his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, than his birth, was because by culture, they celebrated death more so than they celebrated life. Are you sure about that, Pastor Bonnie? Yes, because when someone would die, they had what was called mourners. That means if a mother lost her son, 4, 5, 6 other women would come, and they would just mourn with her for a month. That's all they'll do, sit around and cry. And they're mourn, because that was culturally done. In the process of time, Christianity was being spread abroad. The Apostle Paul was teaching the Roman church, and he was going after those new converts. And he was teaching them to stray away from paganism and different things of that nature. So even if we go over to just real quick, jump into Romans chapter 14, For the saving of time, we'll just deal with he's talking to them because, again, you had the Roman government that had all of their pagan holidays. You had the Jews that had their worship days and their holidays and so on, Sabbath days as well. So all of these things was taking place. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to teach them about this. And I think this is an answer for us, because when we have questions about this holiday, any other holiday, Sabbath day, let's read what the book says. Now, again, we're in Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Now, I want you to write verse 4, put a little circle around, and go back and read that. Because that'll put us in right standing. Number one, it'll keep us from judging so much. Because it says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So we answer to God for our decisions. Verse 5 says, one man esteemeth, that means bring highlights or glorify it or lift it up or admonish it. One man esteemeth one day above another. In other words, you know, all of us, if you get paid on Friday, you put Friday above Monday. Why? Because you went to work Monday, but you're looking towards Friday. You esteem that day better than the other. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. To another man, I mean, it don't matter what day it is for him, you know. It can be your birthday, my birthday, it's a day. So, hey, I'm just glad to be alive. So, he says, another esteemeth every day alike. I told you all about that creative word, let. So, he says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you don't feel it's wrong to celebrate Christ in this Christmas season, it is not wrong. Because you got to be persuaded in your own mind. But if you think it's wrong, then to you it is. But again, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. Now, this don't continue. I'm just adding this in there because, you know, some people get on the bandwagon, you shouldn't eat pork, okay? And they go through all the other lists of stuff that you can't eat. So this is Paul, who is responsible for giving us nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And there has not been any other biblical writer that have contradicted anything he has wrote. So we see it still in harmony with all the sacred scriptures.
So he's teaching them to understand that everything that we do unto God. And what we don't do it unto God. So I'm going to read that again, verse 5, chapter 14, book of Romans. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he gave God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God, for none of us live to himself. And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are who? The Lord. Verse 5, he kind of wraps it up for us. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and For this end, Christ both died and rose and revealed that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And it get a little deep, so I ain't going to read that part because it deal with just, that'd be a message all by itself, so stay on course. All right. So now, to the Roman people, they used to celebrate the winter solstice. That's when the winter season actually kicked in. It is at the point where the angle of the earth and the sun have a particular spot where the days are longer on one side of the planet and shorter on the other side. So like here, where we are, our daylight time is a lot shorter. Here in Memphis, the sun probably don't get out until about 7:30. The sun is starting to try to peak. But at 5:15, it's dark p.m. So it doesn't last long. We don't have 12-hour days of sunlight. But during that winter solstice, the Roman people celebrated that season, which is in late December. They celebrated in late December the winter solstice with drinking a lot of wine. That was part of their festival. So what has translated over to American culture, people who have parties and go out and get drunk on Christmas Eve and during this season, because they are following a tradition that they don't even understand they are following it. And if not that they are doing it for that reason, the genesis of it. The Roman people celebrated the winter solstice with a lot of wine, drinking of a lot of wine. The festival was their resurgence of the sun after long days of winter. The holiday symbolizes birth of light. So later, the early church or Christians related the birth of Christ and the Son of God to that celebration. So Rome, culturally, was celebrating that season as a birth of life. So since Christ is the light of the world, the early Christians, in trying to persuade those Romans that were still following pagan tradition, they began to mix in culture to get them to accept Christ. And that lesson for us is, when we begin to compromise the standard of God with the world began to think they're okay with God the way they are. And that's why we have to be careful, because started in the 3rd century, and we're still debating it and talking about it in 2021, going on 2022. So literally almost 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this same subject matter. Again, so that holiday represented or symbolizes the birth of life, okay? And that was the winter solstice, okay? One of the things that they did in doing that is they will have what's called candlelight services. These candlelight services was held to help the followers of Christ to remember that he is the light whom came to the dark world. So the early celebration of Christmas, or this season of Jesus' birth, they started doing candlelight services. So you ever wonder why we got all of these commercials with plug-in candlelights and people stick them in their windows? That's where that come from. You see these candles? So it was part of that candlelight services that started up so many centuries ago, okay? So let me keep on. All right, so the candlelight services was held to help followers of Christ to remember that he, Christ, was the light of the world, and he came to the darkness of the world. The Romans had two holidays in December. The first holiday, and I'm going to spell it because I don't want to mispronounce it, but it was Saturnalia, which is Saturnalia. The Romans celebrated Saturn as a culture god. In other words, they saw it as a time of agriculture. And so they honored Saturn, or they worshiped Saturn God. Yes, they really did, which was an agriculture god. They had many gods. The other was Juvenalia, which is Juvenalia. Which was actually a Persian god, Mithra, which is Mithra, which was the god of the sun. So in that season, they were celebrating a sun god and a Saturn god, one for agriculture and one for light. And that light god, also a Hindu god,
that they adopted as part of their culture. So, again, all of these things took place in Rome. Rome was a democracy, a very great city. They've done a lot. But as the Christian faith was heavily on the move, centering, one of the popes named Pope Julius the First, in the third season, it was him that decided for the Christians of the Rome to make the 25th of December their annual day of celebration of Christ's birthday. Because these were conversations that they was having about true God, any God, so on. So this Pope made that decision. And so from the third season to now, December 25th has been known and recognized on the Georgian calendar, which we follow now. December 25th has been the celebration of Jesus' birth. Again, it was their way of trying to get the Roman citizens and culture to follow the traditions and culture of Christianity. So it was a compromise, and that's what took place. Any questions before I go on any further? Any questions? Any questions? Because I done said a lot.
No, I'm good.
Again, as I said, it was a way of just trying to get down. So let's turn to our Bibles again. And again, we believe that the Word of God is the final authority on everything that he said. So if God said it, that settles it. As Christians, you are free in Christ to celebrate Christmas or not to celebrate Christmas. And you know you're free because I just read Romans 14 and 5, okay? I just gave you that. But we are free to celebrate that as Christ's birthday, okay, or not, okay? But make sure that if you're celebrating Christmas, it is not the principle of your faith, because the principle of our faith is Christ, not the celebration. It is his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So don't make it a matter of faith. Your celebration of the holiday is a, don't make that your faith. In other words, don't make that religious. What you want to do, then by all means do it. But do it to the glory of God. And only God, through his Holy Spirit, can give you what will be too much if that's what you're doing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Here's our warning, and I said to you earlier, make sure that Christmas don't become the principle of your faith. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all of the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. You are what? Complete in him. That's why we're not half saints, half people. We are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are crucified. No, that's not crucified. Circumcised, I'm sorry. Yeah. Circumcised, that means the cutting away of flesh. That's a covenant. And with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, taste not, touch not, all of that, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, and then it goes to where we left off on in Romans there. Let no man judge you in meat, drink, or respect of holiday. And this is very important for us to read. So I'm going to read that again, verse 16. So let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holiday, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you, for your reward in and voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his flesh or his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bond, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiment of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are perished with using after the commandments of doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in willing worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. I just read it all. So go back and read Colossians chapter 2. Study that. Meditate on it. Let God continue to feed your heart and mind with that understanding, so that moving forward, You can decide what is right or wrong for you to celebrate Christmas. If you celebrate the Christmas holiday, celebrate it with giving. Oh, I almost forgot. One of the other things that was also part of that Roman tradition, this is where the gifts came in. I almost forgot about this one, but I didn't have it wrote down, but I almost forgot. In the winter solstice, so that week, the upper class society had to stop work, and they had an obligation to buy presents or gifts and give to all of the commoners, those that was poor, those with less fortune. So one of the practices that Rome had, and this was started their giving, this long before St. Nicholas, all this giving, was their upper class had to have a time where they will respect the lower class. So one of the things that they did was this time of the year, which was a celebration of life and birth, was for them to share their wealth. And so that was a practice, shut down everything, and those that had to give to those that did not have. So that's where that gifting started. Again, that was a Roman tradition, started way back before the third century. I shared with you pretty much a lot of stuff. Somebody may have a question about the Christmas. Does the Bible speak anything about a Christmas tree? It does. I think over in Jeremiah chapter 10, I go through it real quick. Our time is about up. Jeremiah chapter 10. All right, Jeremiah chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, speak unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen." So this is when we get into the traditions of men versus the traditions of the children of God, okay? So he's speaking to the house of Israel. "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven. For the heathen are dismayed of them." So don't we ain't supposed to be into horoscope. Those are the signs of the heavens, okay? And they get dismayed by it. They are persuaded by it, led by it, okay? So "For the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest." Here you go, Brother Charles. "The work of the hand of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must need be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." So we were given that warning not to be like the heathen. Now it goes on. So So read all the way from verses 1 to 16. I think that's going to bless you as you read that. But it lets us know, because one of the early things that they did, and that's what in Leviticus 23, the children of Israel were told to take palm trees. But over here, the heathen, they took cedar, pine tree. But they didn't use a palm tree. Like in Leviticus 23, which I was going to read in the beginning, but I chose not to. So.
Go ahead, Pastor Bon. I'd like to hear that.
Which one, in Leviticus?
Yep.
Okay. Let me go to it. Give me a second. Leviticus 23. Thanks, Leviticus 23. Or is that the one out of? I think that's it. Oh, it might have been the one in Proverbs I was looking up, Psalms that I was looking for. Let me make sure. Hold on. Leviticus book, Leviticus 23, let me make sure. 40. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Leviticus 23 and 40. If you read, if you go back and read it, it was talking about the first day of the Sabbath and all that. So it says, and ye shall take you on the first day the bought of goodly trees, bunches of palm trees, and bunches of fig trees, and hollow of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a forever in your generation. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared it, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord.
Pastor Bonnet, that there, just for the listeners, since I've studied about the Jewish feast and the laws there, that's the Feast of Tabernacles, where they took trees and built themselves booths where they had to live like they did in their travels from Egypt to the Promised Land. That's the Feast of Tabernacles.
And that's where they had to dwell. It's before they came into the promise, and because he gave them, he said, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, thou shalt be a day of atonement. So,
better known as Yom Kippur.
So when they did that, that was not them bringing those trees together and the palm trees and the fig trees. That was not the Christmas tree. And so, you know, when somebody think he was, well, they had Christmas. No, that was not a Christmas tree. So we have to remember. When you go over to Jeremiah had saw another nation that was doing that. And then there's also something that they did in early civilization where they were burned as the wintertime came in their homes. They were burning logs. They found out that certain logs burned better. And so they would burn the logs that would burn longer, but those logs would always leave their house with a smell of incense. And so later on, people started bringing pine and different smells like that in, trying to reproduce that same segment. Again, a lot of things, and as the text said in Jeremiah, sometimes we see other nations doing stuff, or we see other people doing stuff, and we're not sure why they're doing it. And so we gravitate to it, and we just do it because we saw them doing it. We thought it was a good idea, and we don't know that they was doing it because of idol worship. And so so our behavior was bringing a frown upon God because we were doing things that we wasn't even aware that was offensive to God. And so that's why it's important for us that all we do as unto the Lord. That means we give thanks to God for all things that we can do and things that we do do. Last text I need to read, and we'll be done for the evening. That's out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. And I truly try not to be long, but, and so there's a lot more that I could add to this, but I was trying to, teachings like these can literally go months at a length because you really don't want to teach them in segments, but for shows like this, programs like this, we have to give what we can and trust that you will go back and read the material. So Isaiah chapter 44, verses 9 through 18. It talks about them making graven images. It says, they that a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who has formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed. And the workmen, they are workmen, let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both work in the coal and fasten it with hammer and work it with the strength of his arm. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter scratch out his roof. He maketh it with a line. He fitteth with planes, and he marks it out with the compass, and maketh it after a figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedar, and take the cypress and the oak, which he strengthened for himself amongst the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself, yea, and breaketh bread, yea, he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. Verse 16. We got two more verses. He beareth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and satisfied. Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a gold, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worship it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Verse 18, they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. We see here the children of Israel being taught not to follow suit behind so many different nations. And we got other holidays that certain things that they would do. They would cook certain feasts. And when they would eat the meat, they ate the meat unto a certain god. And thank that God for the strength that they was having. And they would make idols. Even those little garden gnomes, you know, whether or not we do it, you may not do it, but, you know, little garden gnomes, they was made, those supposed to be things that supposed to protect your garden. And those are little idols, you know. And people believed in that stuff. I'm going to get my gnomes. So I'll get my gnomes so these gophers don't be in my yard. And that's an idol. And people do stuff not realizing that these things are detestable unto the Lord, because we making him jealous. But he said he is a jealous God and he shall have no other God before him. And so we got to be mindful that we don't put the things of this world before our God, and that when we do things, we do them decently and in order, and we do them, and if we can't celebrate God in them, then maybe we shouldn't be doing them. And that'll be our benchmark. Can God Amen. Get the glory in my actions? And if God can't get the glory in it, then it may be something that you might not need to do. Okay? I want to thank all of y'all for taking the time to listen. Teachings like this can be meticulous, but they're needful. In every culture, there's a teaching of what that culture is. The beauty of it is Jesus came preaching the culture of heaven. And in all his teaching, he was teaching us how to enjoy heaven on earth. And so if you feel like you're living in hell, then that's because you haven't been following the culture of the kingdom. The best teacher of the culture of the kingdom of heaven is none other than Jesus Christ himself. You find his teaching in the Word of God. And if you get in it, it'll bless you and give you exactly what you need in life. Once again, Amen. I want to say thank you to everyone. Missionary Ken, do you have anything else you like to contribute to the holiday season?
Actually, when you're done speaking, I was going to close out with a song that actually comes from the viewpoint of the Innkeeper's Son, I think, that everybody would enjoy.
Well, let's go ahead and play the song, and I'm done.
All right, here we go.
Hold on before. Father God, I thank you for this holiday season. I thank you for our listeners. We pray that they have beautiful rest as they sleep tonight. Give them traveling mercy as they go out on tomorrow to carry out their businesses. Lord God, allow them to enjoy this season and celebrating the gift that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all those that helped make up the 6 Eyes Radio Network. We thank you for each one by one, name by name. We ask that you will bless our families. Sensing those that are going through, we pray for Sister Emily and in the hardship that she's going through now. Give us strength to endure. Oh, Lord God, let her know that she can do all things through Christ that strengthens her. Continue to strengthen those others that may be grieving for one reason or the other. Lord God, you are our reason to be joyful. And so we thank you today that the joy that you give, the world didn't give it. So the world can't take it. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go right ahead, Mr. McKinnon.
That night in Bethlehem, yes, I remember it well. I guess I never will forget it. It's quite a tale to tell. Oh, I was just a boy of 10. No, I guess I was 11. When I beheld that blessed child sent down to us from heaven. We were closing up the place, that is, my father's inn, when at first I heard a quiet knock and then a louder one again. It was very late at night, and even Father was afraid that it might be the soldiers. The tax laws had just been made. He opened up but just a crack. The wind outside was wild. And there stood one man and his wife, expecting soon a child. Please, he said to Father, we have come a long, long way. And you're our last hope, you see. We don't have any place to stay. The inn was full, but since we saw the woman wasn't able to sleep out on the streets, Father offered them the stable. And you know, even then, I felt such warmness all around me. But I never could have ever guessed what in the morning found me. I rose at dawn and went outside to feed my favorite cow. Now remember, I was just a boy. I seem so silly now. And I'd almost forgotten we had company that morn. When suddenly I saw it. A baby had been born. At first, well, I was frightened and I almost ran to hide. But you know, something seemed to nudge me, so I stepped inside. The mother gently smiled at me and asked me to come near. 'Twas then I gazed on that child's face. His eyes, they were so clear. That baby looked as though he had the wisdom of all lands stored inside that tiny head. And then the choir began. Yes, it was. There was really angels all in white. With wings, and yes, with faces like I'd never seen so bright. They were angels, and I knew it, but I didn't understand why they were watching over this little stranger in such a strange new land. Well, now I know the child was Christ. He'd come to save us all, and I was one of the first to see him lying newborn in that stall.
Amen. In the 6 Eyes Radio Network, remember, Christ loves you, and he's just waiting on you to love him and return. God bless.